The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTK.com. Look, I got to stay consistent. We got Mike Spath coming on. We got to start this hour off right, like I have every hour this morning.
Why not, man?
I'm coming for that number one spot.
All right.
Woo! That's right. Pistons are number one, baby. In the draft. But it counts. Hey, Mike, we have to get started off that way. We have Mike Spath with us this morning. You know why?
I just wish Mike could have seen you dancing, Sam.
Listen, on top of being a Pistons fan, I got to ask you this question, Mike Spath. Ira asked this question of me a couple of months ago. Does Detroit have a star? Who is the star in Detroit sports right now? Is there one? Can you identify who's Isaiah Thomas? Who's Stevie Y? Who's Barry Sanders? When we were growing up, we had a bunch of guys. Now it just feels like we don't have any. Finally, we have at least someone we can look to, a possibility when you talk about the number one overall pick in the draft.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And Ira gave me a little bit of a heads up before I came on. And I was going through the teams, and I'm like, Tigers, no. Pistons, not really. I mean, maybe Grant, but I don't think he's a household name. Certainly, the Lions don't really have one. And the Larkin, but Dylan Larkin was out for most of last year and really hasn't, I mean, until the Red Wings get good and he becomes a, 75-80 point scorer, I don't think he's going to be that guy. I mean, it's Cade Cunningham, man. Bring him on down. That was awesome yesterday. I wasn't watching live. I was actually at a men's church group, and I came out of the church group and I, flipped on my ESPN app and I saw that the Pistons got the number one pick. And I mean, I texted, my brother immediately, a couple of my buddies, my godfather. I was like, should I text my wife? But she won't know or she won't care. But I mean, like, I was so geeked about this because, I mean, honestly, we were all kind of thinking about it. They end up somewhere between 2 and 4. Who are they picking? Who's the right fit? And is it Mobley? Is it Jalen Green? Is it Suggs? Like, who is the right guy to help push them? I never thought they were going to get the number one pick because of the draft history, the draft lottery history in Detroit the last few years. And so to get that top spot, to have the opportunity to select Cade Cunningham, I mean, go back and watch his games. I mean, you saw him in the NCAA tournament. I mean, this guy is really, really good. And like, there's no intimidation. There's no like moment too big for him. I mean, he wants the ball. He's got all the physical skills. I was telling my wife this morning, she's like, what is this the equivalent of? And I said, look, I'm not saying he's LeBron James. He's not. But I go, but what you have is you have some of these downtrodden franchises that need to get a little bit lucky. Utah getting Donovan Mitchell a couple of years ago. Phoenix getting Devin Booker a couple of years ago. Both guys that the Pistons passed on. But you need to, Giannis in Milwaukee, you're not going to attract the big-time free agents. You've got to get that superstar in the draft that all of a sudden, after 2 or 3 years, is such a big name and such a big commodity that people want to come and play with him. And that is what the Pistons have finally an opportunity to do. If you can't tell, man, I am geeked about this.
Yeah, I think all of Detroit is. And I said earlier, maybe you take for granted, part of it is youth. We were young when Isaiah, Barry, and Steve Yzerman, when they were in their prime, and even, at least into the late 80s, at least as late as 88, you still had Tram and Lou Whitaker, right? You still had the Tigers. Rather, think about how lucky, how fortunate we were. It makes you appreciate it that much more when you see how, like you said, downtrodden those franchises are right now. So I think we are... Is it a little over the top, the celebration this morning? Yeah. But I think when you look at, look against the backdrop of the dearth of things to be excited about in Detroit sports in recent memory, I think you understand why people are, like you and I, Mike, are a little fired up this morning. I do want to get to the big news of the week, though, and that, you know, groundbreaking decision by the Supreme Court of the United States, where now this the focus of the ruling is on educational-related academic costs, right? That there can no longer be a cap placed on those, that violates antitrust law, siding with, judging in favor, a ruling in favor of former student athletes who said this is not right for them to be able to cap this at education-related costs. Now, the spirit of this decision, I think, carries over beyond this very narrow focus, because what the Supreme Court called into question, Mike, and I want to know really what I'm looking for is your commentary on the significance of this. What the ruling says is the ideal of amateurism is antiquated. That the ideal that not paying players and justifying not paying players by saying that the reason people watch is because you don't play players will not pass the sniff test anymore. I'm curious what you think that means for the overall question of compensating student athletes moving forward.
Well, Sam and Ira, I got to say, you know, one of the things I really look at is, how often there is something in the backdrop. And just late last week, I think we actually maybe talked about it on our show last week, but it had not really gone through yet, was the idea of the college football playoff expanding from 4 teams to 12 teams. And I read multiple articles that said, you know, right now ESPN, if they're willing to rip up their contract and the whole thing, which sounds like they're going to have to do, you know, they're paying out about $400 million a year to the NCAA. But with this expanded playoff, it can go up to $1 billion a year that the TV rights would be for a 12-team playoff. And then you have you cycle forward to the NCAA going out there and saying, you know, still arguing its case that it's about the amateur model and that these young men, especially in football and basketball, the education opportunity is fully what they deserve. As you have just less than a week ago, all the talk of the NCAA making $1 billion off of the new college football playoff, and the players are not going to get a sense of that. And so, I mean, it's you and I, you know, Ira, we've talked about the hypocrisy of the NCAA over and over and over again, and they just keep dragging their feet. They're holding on for every last little bit here. And this is why I don't understand, you know, Mark Emmert getting the extension a couple of weeks ago, because instead of being proactive about these things, instead of taking the NCAA into the 21st century and giving them, like, okay, how do we kind of, you know, it's a difficult thing to do, but how do we kind of almost blow this thing up, start from scratch and become the NCAA of the future? They're just like, we're going to hold on to 1950s, 1960s NCAA as long as we possibly can until someone makes us change. And the Supreme Court this week, I mean, it is one thing to vote for this if it would have been like a 5-4 decision or a 6-3 decision. And maybe the NCAA holds on to that a little bit and says, you know what, we've got some people on our side, we can still kind of push back. A 9-0 decision, when you've got conservative and liberal justices, when you've got justices that got named to the Supreme Court under George Bush and Barack Obama and Donald Trump, and I mean, like, on and I mean, like, it's not like it's one president here. I mean, this is as definitive as a, hey, NCAA, you're done. Stop with the crap. Stop with all of these arguments that you've been making for 10 years, 20 years, 25, 30, 40, 50 years. Get your act together and change this thing up, because if you don't do it, we're going to keep on striking you down and forcing you to do it. And I hope, I really do hope, Sam, that comes out of this is that, you know, within, certainly by August, when college football season starts to ramp up, there is a name, image, and likeness, like, legislation in place from the NCAA that makes sense and makes for the student athlete, that it benefits the student athlete way more than it benefits the NCAA. It's time to get their act together, because if they don't, they're going to have a lot more 9-0 rulings, and they're going to look like fools like they did this week.
Right, man. So it's you mentioned name, image, likeness. So Mark Emmert, you know, the NCAA, they were just in front of Congress a few weeks ago begging Congress to intervene, to come in with a blanket name, image, likeness law that would cover every state, right? And so part of this, you got to understand, you want all of college sports, college athletics, to fall under the same rules, right? But I think maybe a bigger, broader focus for them was, hey, we want to play some caps on this. And we know if we play some caps on the earnings potential, that there is a really significant chance that we could get struck down. But if Congress does it, if it's a law and not an NCAA rule, you know, they can't come after us. They can't sue us for it. Guess what? I don't think is going to be a part of name, image, likeness now. I mean, would Congress come behind this decision from the Supreme Court, which obviously was about education-related costs, but would they come behind that decision and say, hey, we're going to place caps on the earning potential of student athletes and name, image, likeness? I don't think there's any way Congress would do that.
No, I agree. And look, Sam, we live in a country. This is the conundrum. This is the contradiction that always drives me nuts. We live in a capitalist society that says over and over again, let the free market determine everything. And yet, here we are, we're going to put a cap on these student athletes and say, no. Free market has nothing to do with it. You can make $50,000, and that's the most you can possibly make. I mean, give me a break. Like, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, last year, two biggest names in college football. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, since the moment that he led Clemson to the national championship game, his freshman year, this kid could have been banking 7 figures a year in endorsements. And why would you go out and then say, like, well, you know, we want to still create a level playing field, and we don't want, you know, the hurt feelings in the locker room. So, Trevor Lawrence, you can only make $50,000. That's the same amount as your teammates. Guys, look, I'm telling you, I've taught this class last year. I have had so many former players come in and talk to my class at Michigan. My students have done projects on name, image, likeness. Over and over and over again, I hear the same thing from current and former student athletes, and that is this. Look, it is uneven right now. The starting quarterback gets way more attention, way more opportunity than the third string offensive lineman is going to get. And we have adapted to that as football players, as basketball players, our entire lives. I understand that I am the 12th man on my basketball team. I understand that there's an Isaiah Livers and a Franz Wagner that gets all the media hype, gets all the playing time, all those things. It doesn't destroy my locker room. That's just part of the culture. That's just part of the understanding. And you know what? Like, I'm okay with that. And so if my starting quarterback, he has opportunities to make $100,000, and hey, I only make like $5,000, like, yeah, it stinks. I would love to make a little bit more, but like, that's not going to divide this locker room. That's not going to cause this rift in the locker room. You know, it's so, there's so many arguments that, you know, Congress or the NCAA or talking heads make. And all I really want is like, hey, go talk to the players, go talk to the former players, go talk to the current players about this who have been adapting to this type of scenario their entire careers, and ask them this, because they're not telling me that there's going to be a problem. And so, caps, get rid of them. Let the free market determine it. It's not going to ruin college football. It's going to change college football a little bit, but so did the transfer portal. So did, the BCS. So did the college football playoff. It keeps on changing, and we keep on adapting to it because we love college football. And until they take helmets off and pads off and they play two-hand touch, we are going to continue to watch college football.
Yeah, Mike, you raised it. And we're talking to Mike Spath this morning inside the huddle segment here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. I'm like you. When I hear people say, well, this will divide the locker room, to me, it's an argument that ignores the realities of life. It is just sort of a trying to shut down the discussion to maintain the status quo. But where do you go? What profession do you get into where you step into a work arena and everyone in there makes the same amount. Like you go to a place and everyone in the office makes the same amount. Or if you want to put it in a sports setting, you step into a pro locker room, does everyone make the same amount? Or let's just stay in college. Does every member of a college staff, every member of the football staff, they make the same amount? Or if you look at the coaches on a campus across sports, do they all make the same amount? It doesn't seem that way to me. So it's only when we get to the players do we start to talk about, hey, if this guy makes more than that guy, if this student-athlete makes more than that student-athlete, then it bedlam will ensue. But in every other instance, I mean, it's life. And people learn to deal with it. You learn to cope. You learn to figure out ways to improve your income or obviously to be satisfied with your potential too. Everyone's potential is not the same, right? So this to me is a great point that you're making. And I think what we're seeing, you tell me if you agree, is a shift in the perception of the public. This is as bipartisan as you're ever going to get in this day and age. It seems to me, when you talk about the majority of people, the majority of sports fans in this day and age, and how they view name, image, likeness.
Yeah, I mean, I think most sports fans have made peace with it. There's still a good contingent, and I understand the argument of like not paying the players out of the athletic department revenue, because the moment that happens, you do have this seismic shift. And are you going to be able to afford the women's softball program? Are you going to be able to afford the track and field team? Does everybody at that point have the same salary? Or if you're a five-star, do you get paid more? If a four-star, do you get paid more? Like, how does that all work itself out? So I understand that argument, but everybody I talk to is like, yeah, name, image, and likeness. Why shouldn't they make money off of their own personal brand? You know? And I mean, you know, I go back to for tomorrow night, I'm the MC and hosting the Jordan Morgan virtual wine event. I know you guys had him on about a week ago or so. And there's a couple of former players. Isaiah Livers is going to join us. Nick Stauskas is going to join us. Maurice Taylor from the 90s is going to join us. And Zach Novak is going to join us, in addition to Jordan Morgan. Think about someone like Zach Novak. Like, Zach Novak, 6'4", power forward, was never going to play in the NBA, but damn, is he loved by University of Michigan fans. Damn, was he loved during his career at U of M. And if you're that player and you have helped Michigan go to three NCAA tournaments, you go to the NCAA tournament his freshman year for the first time in 12 years, you're a three-time captain, you've done all these things. He's gotten a great education, and I'm not taking that away at all in the value of that education. But he has an opportunity during his 4 years where that is going to be as popular as he is ever going to be in his athletic career. That is when he's got the greatest leverage, the greatest opportunity to make some money off of that. Because the moment he leaves, he is a former player, and maybe he has a little bit of cachet for a while, but he's not going to play in the NBA. And so how long does that last? And if you're telling me that Zach Novak during his 4 years at Michigan could have made $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, sets himself up, maybe that helps him buy his first house. You know, maybe that helps him put something towards his own kids' college fund someday. You know, like all that different thing that he can do with that. I mean, I think most fans understand that that is something that players deserve. They are creating so much good for the university beyond wins and losses, bringing in marketing dollars, bringing in sponsorships. So why shouldn't they have a piece of that pie? So certainly I believe the momentum and the attitudes from fans has shifted on that. I think fans, at the end of the day, and you guys know this, are just afraid of the status quo changing and them losing what they have. But I got to tell you, fans, the status quo changes every single day, every single year, with new laws, new things that are coming into college football, college basketball, college athletics overall. We keep on adjusting and we keep on watching, because as long as the drama is there and as long as you get to watch your team with maize and blue on or green and white or scarlet and gray, you're always going to have that type of fandom. And that is not going to change regardless of what type of legislation they introduce.
Absolutely. All right, Mike, I know you got to get out of here quick, so I got to ask you something I've been meaning to the last couple of weeks. So word earlier this month that Owen Power, potential number one draft pick, leaning towards returning to Michigan. next year. Are you surprised by that and the significance of that for Michigan, if indeed it happens?
Well, it'd be a huge boon for Michigan if it does happen. You know, you look at, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and Strauss Mann made a really unexpected decision to leave Michigan. And, you know, Eric Portillo, the NHL draft pick and a kid with a lot of potential to be the starting goalie. And if they get that level of play from Portillo, you know, they've got all the pieces in place, depending on who does come back, for them to be really special this year and in the future years. And so if you're Owen Power, I mean, it's a little bit like, you know, guys who make a, you know, Isaiah Livers decided to come back. Franz Wagner decided to come back for a sophomore year. Why did you decide to come back? Well, hey, man, I want to compete for a championship. I want to, you know, I want to win a national title. I want to go to a Frozen Four. I want to help restore, you know, Michigan hockey to what it once was and what it can be again. You know, I think that's a legit pull. I mean, Juwan Howard turning down, you know, NBA offers. Can he make more money in the NBA? Can he compete for an NBA championship? Yeah, but he's building something here at Michigan, and he wants to continue it. And the thing about Owen Power is, like, look, like, he's going to be a first – if he's the number one overall pick, what is the loss to him of coming back? That money is going to be there. That opportunity is going to be there, whether it's right now or a year from now. But if he looks at it and says, you know, I can still develop my game, I can get a little bigger and stronger, you know, I've got some teammates I love, I want to be here, I want to be part of this, I mean, that's incredibly exciting. And that's the type of decisions that I don't fault a guy whenever he wants to go pro. Whatever decision you want to make is up to you. But certainly it's a rare decision. It doesn't happen a ton anymore because, you know, most guys do go pro. But it would be awesome. It would be really, really something for Michigan hockey if he decides to come back.
Gotcha. Well, Mike, hey, appreciate you taking time out of your busy morning, man, to come on and celebrate with us. We will talk to you again next week, but we will end the way we began, Mike, celebrating the Pistons, getting that number one pick. So, hey, happy number one pick, Mike. Here you go.
Don't slip up or get cut.
Why not, man?
I'm coming for that number one spot.
That's right. Mike Spath, folks. We got to get to a break. We'll be back on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. The Ticket.